Let's get into the Word. You know, I think it's interesting that when Jerry and I share the Word, when we share the Word, we really share the Word. Because it seems like that the topic that that God lays on Jerry's heart, he lays on my heart in a different way. And it's so funny. You know, we always say, you know, when Jerry teaches on Sunday morning and I teach, I say, okay, now you just taught my sermon. Or Jerry will say the same thing in the other direction. And when he talked this morning about the thoughts that we feed on, the things that how we respond to situations, and how we respond to situations based on the thoughts that we already hold in our heads, based on whether or not it's the Word or something else, you're going to hear a little bit more of that tonight. You're going to hear a little bit more of that tonight. Except it's going to be sort of in a different direction, because the reason that I have, is this a lectern or a podium? What do you call it? A doohickey?
Stand.
A stand. The reason I have the stand out tonight, because I'm going to do a little more reading from something than I normally do. And what it is, as I was reading this prophecy from the prayer center, and God began to show me some things, I just typed it out. And it's about a page and a half long. And so as we go through tonight, I'm going to share with you what God shared with me. And like Jerry shared this morning, whenever, you know, we teach, whenever he teaches, he's really just sharing with you what God shared with him and taught him. Okay? And taught him. So let's begin with the outline. And this is a prophecy from the prayer center. And the title of it is, I Can Change the Finances. And then the comments, if you ever get the newsletter from Dave Roberson, and he has prophecies in it, and the comments are things that God is showing him before he actually gives the word of prophecy. Okay? So the comment that Brother Dave made is, the gifts of faith is here. And this is to the prayer center that was November 23rd, 2008. Now, let me also say this. We know that when a word is given, even though it may be given at a particular location, if it's not for a particular person, that prophecy can be used, can be adapted, can be used by any Christian. That's us. So even though it came at the prayer center, when you look at that, this is for us, okay? The gift of faith is here. The gift of discerning is here. Some of the things some of you are doing are going to change now. For he, the devil, has been discerned and has to leave. Okay? I'm going to read through the prophecy, and you can see how short it is, and then I'm going to come back and draw your attention to a couple of things. I even speak to jobs and businesses and things that are developing, that they will no longer develop toward the negative, but for the positive. For I can change the finances by changing the scope of everything around you in the world that you yourself maintain. Now, you see how I bolded and in the world that you yourself maintain? I remember Jerry was talking a little bit about that this morning in a roundabout way when he talked about the thoughts that we hold. See, the thoughts that we hold shapes our world, okay? And see, the world that God is talking about is what's in you, okay? That's what he's talking about. What's in you. Because as you continue to shape that world, what you're really doing is accessing more and more of the kingdom. Okay? And eventually, as you access more and more of the kingdom, it comes out in healings, words of wisdom, prophecy, whatever the case may be. It comes out. Okay? Now notice, the first thing that God says is, I even speak. He speaks, okay? He says, I speak to jobs and to businesses and things that are developing, that they will no longer develop toward the negative, but for the positive. And you see the little bracket I got there? Turn to Luke chapter 4. God was talking about how he speaks. And he speaks to jobs and businesses, okay, that are developing. Where are they developing? in the realm of the spirit, because it's the negative that's developing in the realm of the spirit. And God says that they will no longer develop toward the negative, but for the positive. Do you see? Do you see that? Okay. Now, look in Luke chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 38 through 39. And he arose, Jesus, out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And they left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto him. He rebuked the fever. He told the fever, you have got to go. He spoke to the fever. Okay, he spoke to the fever. You got a runny nose. You can speak to your runny nose. You got arthritis, and I think I've told you all before that I'm in insurance and I work in the senior marketplace. So I have a lot of clients who refer to arthritis as Arthur. Okay? So if you have Arthur, you can speak to Arthur. Okay? Your arthritis. Okay? Look in chapter 8. And I'm pointing these things out is because we don't talk nearly enough. We don't talk nearly enough. And I think it's so neat what Jerry did this morning in bringing us back to the Word and confessing the Word. We don't do that nearly enough. Okay? Look in verse 22 in Luke chapter 8. And in verse 22 we read, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. We're drowning. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then in verse 25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wonder, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Okay? Now see, these are the 12 disciples. These are the guys that spend time with Jesus every single day. And they're looking at him like, you can do that too? Okay? And see, when God says, I even speak to jobs and businesses and things that are developing, that's what we can do by confessing the Word. You know, and I want to make sure I say this the right way, because it's never too late to confess the Word. You're behind the eight ball if you confess the Word over something that's already happening. Okay? You're behind the eight ball. Because, see, God wants us to confess the Word on a regular basis. Because, see, confessing the Word, it's almost like preventive. You're preventing what the adversary has planned for you when you speak the Word over and over into your life. I mean, after he's attacked and you start speaking the Word, you're doing damage control then. And I would much rather preempt the strike than have to deal with the strike once it's struck. Okay? And, see, that's what he's telling us here. I even speak to your jobs and businesses and things that are developing that they will no longer, see, they're developing. They hadn't happened yet. See, he's saying the negative is coming. But see, I can speak to the negative and turn it to the positive by speaking the Word. Do you see that? Okay. And then he says, and this is what really struck me, and Stephen would tell you this. I told him that this yesterday morning. He says, for I can change the finances, and you can put health, you can substitute any word you want for finances. Okay, this just happens to be the word that came out. For I can change the finances by changing the scope of everything around you, in the world that you yourself maintain. Do you see that? You have a world you have to maintain. I'm going to let that just germinate a little bit. I have a world to maintain. And see, Jerry talked about that this morning when he talked about the thoughts that we think. When we're thinking thoughts that are not in line with God's word, we are not maintaining our world. We're not. But see, God operates in our world, when the world he's talking about, the spirit on the inside, when that spirit is thinking and responding in alignment and harmony with him. Okay? That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. And notice that God can change things in the world that you maintain. So what is he telling us, folks? If we want to see things changed in our lives, we have to do something. We have to do something. It's not all on God. We have to make a change. We have to maintain our world. And see, before you got born again, you lived in one world. Now you've been transported to another world. Okay? So you now reside in the kingdom of God. But unless you do something in this kingdom to maintain it, to live it, you are not going to maintain it. I'm not saying you're not going to be born again. I'm just saying you're not going to see the fruits of being in that kingdom. Okay? Then he took me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we all know this. So in Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus spoke, and we see what happens. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see that the elders spoke. In Hebrews chapter 11, and again, these are verses you're all familiar with, but they fit so well here. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is. We can now take the offering and say amen and go home. Faith is. Not was. Not is coming. Faith is. Okay? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what is the it? Faith. By it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this word substance, it means that which stands under, it's the foundation. So what is the writer saying here? And I believe the writer is Paul. Okay. So what is Paul saying here in Hebrews? Paul is saying faith is the foundation for the things you hope for. Faith is what holds up what you are hoping for. Do you see that? Okay? That's what he's saying. And he says, faith then is also the evidence. It's the demonstration. It's the convincing argument for the things that you see. It's faith. Okay? In verse 2, for by it the elders obtain a good report. That word report means witness. They retain a good witness. From whom did they get the good witness? From God. Why? Because God likes faith. In verse 6, without what? Faith is impossible to please him. So they got a good report because they lived their lives in faith. Their world revolved around faith. Okay? Now, verse 3 is good stuff. Okay, verse 3, through faith, we understand or we perceived, okay, we perceive or we observe what faith does, what faith produces, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You see that word framed? It means to adjust, to put in order, to repair. To adjust, put in order, to repair. Faith repairs the world. Do you see that? See, the elders, when they spoke the word, because remember, back in Genesis chapter 3, the world changed from what God had originally made it back in Genesis chapter 1. And so everything that Jesus did when he was here, what he did was operate in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 in a Genesis chapter 3 world. We operate in a Genesis chapter 3 world, even though we have spirits that are supposed to operate in Genesis chapter 1, 2 fashion. Okay? So, when we use our faith, when we walk in faith, when our world is dominated by faith, we can adjust, we can repair the world. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Little Lola Faye, she can repair the world. Don, he can repair the world. Jason can repair the world. What world is he repairing? The world that is in disagreement with God's word. And see, when you have things going on in this world that are not in alignment with God's word, it needs to be repaired. That's us, guys. But see, if you're not maintaining your world, okay, you can't do any repairing because you got to repair your world first. You have to repair your word first, your world first, okay? It's called mortifying the flesh. That's part of it. That's part of it. Okay? Now, I want to read to you what the Lord gave me after Hebrews chapter 11. He says, the words that you speak build the world that you live in. He's not talking about, and this is my comments that I made. He's not talking about the world you move around in physically. He's talking about the world your spirit builds as it accesses more and more of the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, then he took me to Luke chapter 17. Let's go there. In Luke chapter 17, again, these are not unfamiliar verses, but these are verses that God has put together to bring home a point. In verse 21, Jesus says, neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold. Okay, let me go back to verse 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, this is Luke chapter 17, verse 20, 21. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Okay? In other words, I am not getting ready to establish my kingdom. I'm not getting ready to bring in my forces to establish my kingdom. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? So the kingdom of God is within you. So what are you maintaining? What are you maintaining? Are you maintaining that kingdom of God that is within you? Okay? And then he said, if you are speaking life in your world, life will manifest itself in this world. The same is true if you speak death. If you are speaking death in your world, death will manifest itself in this world. Every day my children speak more death than they do life. Let that sink in. Every day my children speak more death than they do life. And then he said, they are building a world where I cannot live. They are building a world where I cannot live. And then he gave me some examples of how we speak death into our world. Things like, I can't understand. Or, I don't know why. I'm tired. I'm sick of this. This is driving me crazy. I can't remember things like I used to. Do you see how subtle death is? Do you see that? And I got to thinking about that, and the things that he gave me are things that we just say routinely. and without even giving them a thought. And he's saying, but Barry, when you say those things, you are speaking death. They're not life. They're not springing from this spirit on the inside of you when you speak those things. Okay? And then we went to Mark chapter 11, okay, where we must speak those things that are in alignment with God's word. And again, this is a passage you are very familiar with. But again, it just adds another layer to what the Lord was showing me. In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his world, for the sake of this teaching, okay, shall not doubt in his world, he shall have, but believeth that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And notice the word saith was used four times. Well, really, it's really five when Jesus said, verily I say unto you. So it's really five times. He used the word said or saith in those verses. Okay? It's wonderful to sit down and read the word. And, you know, and you're not really verbalizing it. But do you realize that when you're reading the word and you're not verbalizing it, then you are not getting the full results of that word? Because see, God tells us in Romans, faith comes by hearing. He doesn't say faith comes by reading the word. He says faith comes by hearing that word read. Okay? It comes by hearing. And so when we confess the word this morning, even though we didn't confess a particular scripture, everything that we confess was based on God's word. Based on God's word. Okay? He said, in my world, this is God, in my world, I see you just like I see my son. You are his brothers and sisters. You are part of my family. In my world. Okay? That's what God says. In my world, that's how I see you. Now look in Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know about you guys, but to me, this is some good stuff. I'm telling you that he cares enough that he would give us this kind of stuff. Ephesians chapter 2. Look in we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with him. Now notice, and I'm going to finish, but notice all of the things we've read so far are past tense. They are past tense. They are things that we have already been delivered from. So if we've already been delivered from those things, why do we still try to walk where those things are? Why do we still try to live where those things are? Okay? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath given us life. Together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together. Remember he says how he sees us? Raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, get a hold of this. God says he raised us up together with Christ. It didn't say he raised up Christ and then we came along 2,000 years later and he raised us up. He raised us up together with Christ. So when he raised up Christ after day number 3, guess who came with him? Hallelujah! We came with him. He raised us up together. He didn't have one raising for Jesus and then another one for Barry. Okay? He raised Barry with Jesus. Get that picture, guys. Get that picture. Because, see, when he raised Jesus, the resurrected Christ is the reason that we are here today and everything that that represents. You know, sometimes you just words just you just they don't come to you to try to communicate what really happens. I guess I need to go back to the prayer closet a little bit more so I can really communicate what I'm hearing. Okay. He raised us up together, and now we are seated on the right hand of our Heavenly Father in the heavenlies. So everything that Satan does to us, tries to do to us, if we would take the view that we have being seated on the right hand of our Heavenly Father, we would be able to see what he's trying to do. We got the best perspective in the world. We got the best seat in the house. We can see everything. If we're not asleep. We can see it if we're not asleep. We can see it if we're maintaining our world. Do you see that? He's already done it all. And we can, only thing we have to do is wake up, slap, slap, slap. So you're not asleep at the wheel, okay? He says, in my world, I see you just like I see my son. You are his brothers and sisters. You are part of my family. Then I read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I don't see you any less saved, any less delivered, any less powerful, or any less victorious than I see my son. Let that register, guys. Let that register. And see, everything in the world that we see tells us the opposite. It tells us the opposite. And God is saying, listen, when I raise Jesus up and I raise you together with him, you got everything he got except deity. You got everything he got except deity. I don't see you any less saved, any less delivered, any less powerful, or any less victorious than I see my son. So why are you allowing yourself to see yourself in ways that I don't? God, I don't know. I guess I'm just stupid. I guess I just don't understand this yet. I guess I'm just really not doing my best to see things the way you see them. Well, now I am. Now I am. Because he didn't say, why are you allowing yourself to see yourself in ways that I don't? That's what he said. But see, the key word is we are the ones doing the allowing. We are the ones doing the allowing. And see, Jesus didn't do any allowing. He didn't do any of the allowing. We do that. We allow our enemy to come in and do to us what he wants to do. Rather than say, wait a minute, I got the best seat in the house. I should have seen this coming. And since I didn't see this coming, I'm going to do my best to make sure that I see future things coming. And I'm going to do what's necessary to make that happen. Okay? Why are you allowing the schemes of the enemy to dictate how you view yourself? Okay? And see, Jerry's going to love what I'm about to say. Because, see, remember this morning when Jerry said so many of the things that we think about, TV plays a role. Okay? When he said this, I thought about what we feed our minds through television, books, and movies. Think about that for a minute. We all know that what your mind feeds on is what it's going to think about. So what are you feeding yourself? What are you allowing to get into your world? Because, see, what you allow to get into your world, it's going to come out. So if you're allowing junk into your world, you're going to produce junk. But if you're allowing God's word into your world, that is what you're going to produce. And I think that's what we want to produce, unless I'm missing something. I think. Okay? Listen to what you say. Listen to what others say. When people look at your life, they will know whether or not you are living in life or living in death. By what they see and by what they hear. It just boggles my mind the way he turns a phrase. We're either, our life is either showing that we're living in life or we are living in death. Isn't that scary that you can live in death? But you know, you lived in death until you got born again. Okay? And the scary thing, folks, is that now that you are born again, you can still live in death unless you choose life. See, we have the choice. We are the free agents in this. We are the free agent. We're the one that determines whether or not we're going to live in life or live in death. I am 52 years old. I have come to the decision that I don't like living in death. I really don't. Because, see, when I'm living in death, then I am not allowing God to work through me so that his life can flow. And see, God has called me. God has called you to whatever ministry he's called you to so that his life can flow. But until you stop living in death, until Barry stops living in death, the life is not going to flow. Okay? When people look at your life, they will know whether you are living in life or living in death by what they see and by what they hear. I need you to live in life because that's the only way I will be able to flow through you. John chapter 6. Again, a verse that we are very familiar with. In John chapter 6, in verse 63. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says in verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth or gives life. That word quickeneth means gives life. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Now notice what he said. The words are spirit and life. Get a hold of that. Every word you speak, ladies and gentlemen, is spirit. And it's either going to be a spirit that contains life or a spirit that's contained death. Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, which means that you can have spirit, speaking spirit, and death. My words are spirit and my words are life. I am a spirit and I am life. The only thing I can give is life. My word is as... My word is as much me as I am me. my word is as much me as I am me. Which tells me that since we are part of God's family, if we are not speaking his words, then we are not inviting our Father to the table. We're telling our Father, Dad, we got this one. I think I got a handle on this one, Dad. I can handle this one. Can you say right cross from your enemy, down for the count? But do you see what I'm saying? God says that my word is as much me as I am me. Okay? So the words that you speak, are they you? And if they're words that are not in agreement with your Heavenly Father, they are not you, folks. They are words that your enemy is giving you to speak. Because, see, you have the life and nature of your Father. So if you're not speaking that, you are speaking the words that your enemy wants you to speak. You are living in death. Your world is dying. Your world is dying. Okay? Put a stop to it. It's not too late. Put a stop to the death in your world. It's not too late. You got time. You're still walking today. You got time. And you got to do that. Because see, there are people out in the world who are depending on you to be living so that they can have life. Okay? Remember, we are in a search and rescue mission. We are searching for the lost and we're going to rescue them. But see, if you're walking in death, you're not searching for the lost. You are acting like you are lost. And see, until that is so good. Remember the prodigal son? He had left home and he was feeding the pigs and he was eating what the pigs were eating. And then what does God's word say? When he came to himself. Okay? Guys, when you come to yourself, you're going to pick yourself up. You're going to go back to your dad and say, Dad, I missed it. But you know what? I am not going to miss it ever again. I'm not going to miss it again, Dad. I'm going to have your words be my words. Whatever you say, I'm saying it. Whatever the enemy tries to get me to say, I'm not saying that. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. And see, Jerry hit that this morning when he talked about we have to lead captive every thought to the will of Christ. You have to lead it captive. You've got to grab it. You got to grab it with force, kicking and screaming and saying, this is not what God's word says, but this is what God's word says. Okay? You got to take your thoughts and bring and drag them, kicking and screaming. Because, see, Satan's going to keep giving you those thoughts and thoughts and thoughts. And then he's going to find out what you're thinking by what you do. He's going to find out what's operating in your world by what you do. Okay? I forgot something. When he said, my word is as much me as I am me, I said, wow. I wrote, wow. Okay? I'm very literal. Wow. You cannot separate me from my word. When you speak my word, you are speaking more and more of me into your life. You are drawing closer to me. And when your life is full of me, then I will be able to move in the natural to change things. When your life is full of me, God, your Father, he can move in the natural to change things. I will be able to do today what I could do in the Garden of Eden. Whoa. Whoa. Okay? And then I began thinking about the relationship God had with Adam and Eve. They lived in the same world, okay, because they had the same life. God gave Adam instructions and guidance. God spent time with Adam and Eve on a regular basis. Because if he didn't, how else could Adam and Eve know God's voice or know his sound in the garden? When Doris walks into a room at home, I know it's Doris. I've been with Doris 31 years. I know what she sounds like. Martha knows what Jerry sounds like when he walks. You know. Bill knows what Linda sounds like. Don Wilma, John Ann, vice versa. You know, because you spent time with that person. You know that person almost as much. You know that person almost as well as you know yourself, because you spent time with them. Adam and Eve spent time with God. That's how they knew his sound. It was not, I'm going to spend an hour a day with God and then hopefully we'll develop a relationship. No, it doesn't work that way. You are not maintaining your world if you just spend an hour a day with your father. For some of you, that may mean something else. I don't know. But you don't have an intimate relationship with anyone by spending a small amount of time with that person. So why on earth would we think we can have a relationship with God by spending a small amount of time with him? Jason and Sharon recently got married. They have been spending time with each other for, 5 years, Jason, before you got married? So they knew, they were starting to know each other. Okay? They were starting to understand likes and dislikes and all those sort of things. But it took time. Jason didn't meet Sharon last March and then decide to get married to her in October. But you know, people do that. And you see what it gets them. Okay? My point, it takes time to build your relationship with your father. And see, that's all God really asks for. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants you. Any wife will tell you that what they want from their husband is his time. It's his time. Spend some time with me. Give me some face. Give me some face. Okay? And believe it or not, children want the same things from their mom and dad. They want time. I mean, don't send me to summer school or playground and let me do all this. Spend some time with me, Dad. Show me how to pitch a ball. Show me how to do this. Show me how to do that. I don't care. We could just be sitting down playing puzzles. But I got your time. Your Heavenly Father, He wants your time. That's what He wants. And when you give Him your time, it's amazing what your world is going to look like. Okay? Then he took me back to the first part of the prophecy from the prayer center. I even speak to. And then he says, how do I speak? When do I speak? I speak through my word, and I speak through you as you speak my word. My word has to be spoken in order for it to have an impact in the realm of the natural. That's why letting my words be your words is the key to changing everything in your life. And then he took me to Hebrews chapter 4. And I think that's the last scripture reference, and it is. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. You know what's so interesting about this message? Before I could get this message, God had to make sure that I was paying attention to the prophecy. I had read the prophecy a week before, And I was telling Jerry this morning that I decided to pick it up one more time. And then I read it, and boom, that's where I stopped. And this is what you get. This is what you get when you stop and you do something God wants you to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. It's life. That's what that means. It's life. And it's powerful. And the word powerful means not only is it life, it's active. It's designed to do something. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This two-edged sword, in the Roman army, they had a two-edged sword. They would stick it in and they would turn it. And then they will pull out your insides. So who wants pizza? Okay? The point God is making here is that I'm going to supply one side of that. I'm going to supply one edge of that sword. When you speak it, you supply the other edge. And when you speak it and supply that other edge, you are going to the heart of your enemy. And you are doing damage. But see, we don't speak it. We don't speak it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that because I don't want to raise mine. How often do you confess God's word? How often do you intentionally do damage to the enemy's kingdom? Because that is what you are doing when you speak God's word. You are doing damage to his kingdom. And see, I don't know if you notice this or not, but your enemy has no problem doing damage to you. I don't know if you notice that or not. He has no problem doing damage to you. But see, if we don't speak the word, we can't do damage to him. Because it's the word that he responds to. And it says in the last part of this verse that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word discerner, it means God's word, it scrutinizes. It examines. It analyzes every thought and intention of your heart. And see, as it's analyzing, scrutinizing, examining, it's telling you, that's not for me. That's not for me. Yeah, that was mine. I'll take that one. Okay? But see, because we live in this world and because we don't do all of the things that we know we should be doing, speaking the word, praying in tongues. What is that?
Fasting.
Worshiping. We don't get the results, okay? And what happens is we get lulled to sleep. We get lulled to sleep. And see, the enemy knows that when we are sleeping, he don't have to worry about us. He can go somewhere else, okay? The things that are working, okay, all right. Listen to this, please. Really listen to this. The things that are working against you in the realm of the spirit can be changed as you speak my word. Now notice, remember what the prophecy said about I speak to businesses that are developing in the negative, but I can turn them to the positive. When we speak God's word, the things that are developing to the negative to hurt us, we can turn them. We can turn them. The things that are working against you in the realm of the spirit can be changed as you speak my word. the plans and schemes that the enemy has designed for you can be stopped as you speak my word. Speaking my word is speaking life. And then he says, speak life, speak life, speak life. And then the last thing he said is the last thing that I wrote in your notes. He says, when my word dominates your world, then I will be able to change the world because of the change that has happened in you. And again, I said, wow. So what is that telling us? God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us. So that when we start making the change that needs to be made in order for his life to flow through us, then what we are really going to see, ladies and gentlemen, is our world impacting this world. That's what we're going to see. And I am so thankful to our Heavenly Father that he's patient. He doesn't give up on us. He waits for us. He waits for us because he knows that when that light bulb goes on and we really start seeing things in our world the way he sees things in his world, then hell is going to have hell to pay. Hell is going to have hell to pay. And he needs us to do that. He needs us to be living in life and not in death. So make it your goal tonight that you're going to live in life. And all of those things that you've been saying consciously or unconsciously that are speaking death into your world, stop them. Stop them. And if one slips through, God, I'm sorry. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. Because every time you do that, you're starting to train yourself. And pretty soon, you don't have to do that anymore. There will be something up here that will catch it before it comes out. And I'll close with this. One of the things, well, I have a, and Stephen has seen it on my desk at home, I have a little saying, very short. It says, let negative thoughts die unspoken. Let negative thoughts die unspoken. Because, see, the moment you speak it, that's when you give it life. You let them die unspoken. Well, I am so blessed that you all were here tonight. Because I think that, what God gave me was, it was some good stuff. Good stuff. So you all please stand.